I'd like to share a devotional message with you today about praising the source of our blessings. If you take your Bible and turn to Psalm 95, verse 1 through 11, I'll read through this text as we go through this message. In 2013, Norman Rockwell's masterpiece painting, which is called Not Saving Grace, But Saying Grace, was auctioned at Sotheby's in New York. The painting brought twice as much as was expected. The painting is very, very simple. It's about a little boy with a senior adult lady who is possibly his grandmother. Now bow their heads to pray and give thanks before they eat. Across the table from them, you will see two young people. They're just watching in amazement as the other two give thanks. When this particular painting went up for sale at Sotheby's in New York, 2013, it was auctioned off for $46 million. Some of you remember that Norman Rockwell painted many pictures, but he also did the covers for the magazine The Saturday Evening Post, where his paintings appeared over 300 times. As I looked at that particular painting, I thought how our nation needs to return to giving thanks to the one who is the source of our blessings, our precious Heavenly Father. A couple of days from now, we're going to have Thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the pilgrims on this land in 1621. Later on, President Abraham Lincoln signed an official declaration in 1863 declaring Thanksgiving a national holiday. I want you to know, when you read through the Bible, especially if you're a born-again believer, this entire Bible is absolutely laced with commands that we obey God. And how do we obey God? By giving Him thanks for all things. You know, Thanksgiving is an amazing medicine. When you're thankful, you're at peace. When you're thankful, you don't worry. When you're thankful, your complaining disappears. You read this Bible and find that Thanksgiving is just intertwined one chapter after another. But I want you to know, Thanksgiving sales are legendary in America. Thanksgiving in America is tied to economics. I don't know if you realize this or not, but President Roosevelt set Thanksgiving Day to be the second from the last Thursday in the month of November. And the reason he did that, while he was president, we were trying to come out of the Great Depression from 1929 to 1939. So he decided that if he could increase the shopping days by one more week officially in America, it might stimulate the economy. Well, I want you to know that people were so upset with Roosevelt, by 1941, he changed Thanksgiving back to the fourth Thursday of November as a national Thanksgiving Day. So we'd better be careful when we think about the word Thanksgiving and the season of Thanksgiving about how close we tie that to America's economy. Well, let's study Psalm 95, verse 1 through 11 quickly and see why and to whom we give thanks. He says here that we're to look up, and we are reminded to whom we give thanks. We give thanks for His power in verse 1 through 3 in Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving, extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. We need to thank God that we as believers, number one, have someone to thank. But then when we think about this too, once we get saved, we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and the power of God lives within us every day we walk on the face of this earth. Notice he says, God is the rock of our salvation. And we're saved, we're transformed by the power of God. He hears the prayers of the believers, and He answers our prayers by His power. I read the other day a story by a columnist named Ruth James. She said several years ago, she woke up on Saturday morning in her Houston, Texas home. It was July. And she looked at her husband and said, "You know, I think we need to have a Thanksgiving meal today with turkey, dressing, and all the trimmings." He looked at her and said, "Listen, it's not November. This is the middle of a hot Houston, July." She said, "Listen, we're going to have turkey, dressing, and all the trimmings on Sunday. So guys, you know what you're supposed to do. I surrender all. I need to go to the store and find a turkey. Preferably, you want to find one of those turkeys that was grown with a thermometer on the inside." Well, he decided he would do what she said. So on Saturday, they got all the fixings together. And they made a decision to go to church Sunday morning. As they walked out the door, the smell of a Thanksgiving dinner permeated their house. They went to church. They worshiped. When they were about to leave church, they met two families on the way out. These families were on furlough. They were missionaries from Africa. As they began to talk, Miss James said, "We just felt led to invite both of these missionary families over for lunch." They said, "We know it's July, but we're having Thanksgiving dinner today. You all come on over." So they invited total strangers to their house for lunch. Everybody really enjoyed that meal. When Miss James went to clean up and guests were still at the table, one of the missionary wives walked into the kitchen, and here's what she said. She said, "Miss James, you don't know what this meal meant to us." She said, "We have a teenage daughter. We serve on the mission field in Africa." And said, "The one thing my teenage daughter misses the most is being in America for Thanksgiving Day." Missionary kids have enough times trouble adjusting to their surroundings. But she said, "This year, Miss James, we're not going to be able to come home to America for Thanksgiving." She said, "You have made my teenage daughter so very happy by celebrating Thanksgiving in July." When we give thanks, we need to be thankful. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We pray for God to lead us every day. And through His power, He leads us to do exactly what we need to do, oftentimes to bless other people. Notice the second thing quickly. We need to give thanks for His plans. We start with verse 4. "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." You see in verse 6, "Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary." If we study the Word of God and we listen and are led by the Holy Spirit, He will reveal His plans to us. And listen, our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. So the plans that He leads us to may have never crossed our mind before He reveals them to us. For most of you, the name Don Pardo doesn't mean anything. But in just a moment, when I tell you who he was, you have heard his voice, though you've never seen his face. Don Pardo, as a young man, had a friend, and they just loved to hear radio broadcasting. They heard about the NBC studio in New York City. And so, way back in the 1940s, these two boys planned a trip, Pardo and his friend, to the NBC radio studios. They called the man who was head of personnel. He arranged the trip. The two boys were just fascinated by what they saw. Before they left, Pardo sought out Mr. Kelly, who was the studio manager, and made it a point to walk over him and face to face thank him for the privilege to come and tour this studio. Not too many years after that, Mr. Kelly remembered this young man named Pardo, that came for a special tour and came back by and expressed his appreciation to Mr. Kelly for that tour. I want you to know Mr. Kelly offered Mr. Pardo his first announcing job. I don't stay up this late. There's some things on there I wouldn't want to see. But I want you to know that Don Pardo was the announcing voice for Saturday Night Live for 38 years. Stars were just thrilled when they would be guests on Saturday Night Live and they would hear Dan Pardo announce their name and then say, "Live from New York, this is Saturday Night." But most of you don't stay up that late, and I don't either. And I want you to know he was the announcer for years and years and years for The Price is Right and Jeopardy. Pardo's pathway to success began with a simple expression to Patrick Kelly back in 1944 just to say thanks for a tour of her studio. Notice, give thanks for the Lord's presence. Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." Thank God we can go to the throne of grace at any time. He indwells us at the point that we're born again. He empowers us, but I want you to know everywhere we are, He is. There's never a place that we go that He does not indwell us and He's with us. But we can go to our Father who loved us. We can go through the Son who died for us. And we have His Spirit who lives with us. And no good thing will God withhold from them that walk with God. There's no place we can go to get so low the presence of God is not there. So high the presence of God is not there. Paul in Romans 8 says, "There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Neither angels or principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." And then when you're being thankful, look around and we're reminded to be thankful. Look at verse 7 of Psalm 95. He says, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if you would only hear His voice." Listen carefully to verse 7, Psalm 95. Have you ever listened? Have you ever listed God's supply for all your needs? You know, one thing that I'm thankful for is I was born in the United States. God didn't have to let me be born here. One morning on October 27th, years and years ago, after my mom had been in bed for 8 months in total bed rest, she gave birth to me. And when the doctor slapped my little behind, I started screaming something about the midnight train to Georgia. I'm so glad I was born in Georgia. You know, I've been in some poverty-stricken places in the United States. I've been in some poverty-stricken places in Africa and Egypt and other places around this world. It's only by the grace of God that I was born in Georgia. I'm thankful I was born in Georgia because the gospel is proclaimed from churches and from Christians unashamedly all across this state. I'm thankful for my health. God made me small. I'm glad God made me small. For if I were large, I would be in jail. There are many people that I would put through my desk or slam their head in my desk drawer through 35 years of wonderful, blissful ministry dealing with people. But I've made the most of being small. Also, the older I get, the more I'm thankful for my health. I was reading the other day, he said, when you get older, they're the bees of old age. They're baldness, bifocals, bunions, bay windows, and the rest that go with it. I'm thankful for my eyes. For a long time, I had 20/15 vision. I could see everything forever. Well, my vision is about 20-30 on distance now, and 200 magnification here. I recall when I first got glasses, when I would preach, I stopped reading the scripture and I started guessing at the next word. I knew it was about time to stop rewriting the scripture and start reading the Word of God. And I've already read from chapter 96 and 95 tonight, and I'll hear about that later. I'm thankful that I have ears. One is taller than the other one. Always have trouble when I wear glasses because they sit sideways. But you know what? I can hear. I'm thankful that I also have a sound mind. Now, some of you question that from time to time, but that's all right. You know, if you think you're going crazy, that's a good sign. If you're really crazy, other people notice, but you've got no idea. Now, I'm thankful for parents. My parents were raised on farms. They were raised picking cotton. And I want you to know those were some of the hardest working people I ever knew in my house, in my life. And I want you to know, I can remember coming home. My dad had a pretty good voice. I can remember coming home from church on Sunday, and Dad would take off his tie and put on an apron. Mama had prepared the food, but it needed to be warmed up. And while she was changing clothes, my dad would be singing hymns while he prepared our food. I could hear that all over the house. I was not raised in a house with profanity. There was no cussing allowed there. And I want you to know they absolutely forbade us to have any alcohol in our house. I've looked back over those days and I've just been so thankful for the things that we didn't have that prepared me for my life. I'm also thankful for my wife. I don't know if you can even imagine this, but Delaine was a preacher's kid. She was a preacher's kid back in the day when you live life in a fishbowl. She couldn't dress like other kids. She couldn't act like other kids. She couldn't play exactly like other kids because she was the preacher's daughter. The last thing she ever wanted to do was marry a preacher. And when she was going to marry me, I was going to be a lawyer. The best con job I've ever done in my whole life. But I want you to know she's put up with a lot. Through our three churches, we've come home before to eat a meal, and she'll look at me and say, "Why does so-and-so not speak to anymore?" I said, "Because they had an argument with me, and you're kin to me. They have absolutely nothing concrete against you, but that's just the way people are." She's fixed meals. She's cleaned house. She prays for me every day. I come into work. Lots of times I'm late getting home. She never fusses because she knows the demands of people require that I be out. I'm thankful for electric bills because I have heat and air. I'm thankful also that I was able to get an education. You know, this is strange. You go to school and say, "Oh, I praise God, I get to take a test today." Well, somebody will think you're nuts. But I want you to know that's a blessing that you can get your education. And listen to me carefully. We need to be thankful for all the blessings God's given us. Then I want you to look around and notice the lost people. We need to witness to them. And we need to pray for them. But look around and see what's going on. Look at verse 8 here of Psalm 95. "Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. They're the people whose hearts have gone astray." And he says here, "And they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." Here's a description of a hell-bound world. Listen to me carefully. If we could shrink the earth's population to a village of 100 people, what would that world look like? We've shrunk the world down to 100 people. Listen to me carefully. 57 would be Asians, 21 Europeans, 14 from the Western Hemisphere, 8 from Africa. 50 would be suffering from starvation and one would be dying of that 50. 80 would live in substandard housing. 70 would be unable to read. 6 would possess more than half the world's wealth. And 6 would be from North America. We attend church without fear of harassment. But I want you to know, there are over 4 billion people in the world who want to do what you're doing this morning at church. But those 4 billion people would have faced arrest and even loss of their life simply for going to church. I want you to know that we're richer than 75% of this world. From the very earliest time in our life, we were told the wonderful story of Jesus and of His love and desire to adopt us into His family. We have the Bible as our guide and the Holy Spirit as our inspiration. See what you have as you compare that to a lost world. And then look around at your salvation. In verse 1b, in verse 6 and 7, he says in verse 1b, "Let us shout aloud for the rock of our salvation." And then you go down to verse 6 and 7. He says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we're the people of His pasture." He says that we're the flock under His care. There is absolutely nothing known to man that can compare to the miracle of our salvation. This is something the devil cannot touch. No man can pluck us from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here also that in the Gospel of John, that not only are we in the Son's hand, but we are in the clutch of the Father's hand. No one and nothing can take our salvation from Him. Take a look inside you, down in verse 7 and 8. Verse 7, he says, "For He is our God, and we're the people of His pasture, the flock under His care." And in verse 8, "Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah." He's talking about the children of Israel. I want you to know in the Hebrew, the word for gratitude is also the word for confession. So when we confess our thanks to God, we're actually confessing our total dependence on God. We place our total weight, our total trust on Him as He has blessed our lives in so many ways. He says, not only bless the Lord in your heart, bless the Lord in your home. Look at verse 3. He says there, for the Lord, for Psalm 95 verse 3, "For the Lord is great. He's a great God, the great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is made for Him, and His hands are formed for the dry land." Listen to Psalm 127, verse 3. "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They'll not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." Here are the things that housewives are most thankful for. A housewife is most thankful for a dishwasher. You're going to gather probably at lunch at mom's house. And if your mom was like mine, she didn't believe in using plastic. She used real china. It couldn't even go in the dishwasher. Mom, let's get over that. And when she got Alzheimer's, we all got over that and used red or orange plastic chinette plates. But you know what? Mom loves dishwashers because by the time the dishes in the dishwashers are going, family members are back in the kitchen wanting to snack. You ought to be thankful for your husband because you have small house projects. And he says, "I can handle that. I got this." And by the time he gets through, you have to call a professional in. And while the professional's there, he can fix everything that's wrong in your house. And, you know, you look around and you think about the children, and the children are cleaning up behind themselves, and you can hardly believe what you're seeing, and you're so sad when those children have to go back to their own homes. And then teenagers, they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. You ought to be thankful for smoke alarms because when it goes off, the turkey is done. There's an old poem called "Forgive Me When I Whine." "Today upon a bus I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her, so beautiful, and how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, and I saw her hobble down the aisle, she had one foot and wore a crutch, but as she passed, she wore a smile. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet, this world is mine. When I stopped to buy some sweets, the boy who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you, such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then I saw the boy was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes, the world is mine. Then walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped for a moment, and then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word. I realized he could not hear. God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. This world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what it would know, I'm blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh, forgive me when I whine. Yes, an upward look should make us thankful. An outward look should make us thankful. An inward look should make us thankful. A lady wrote an article called Thanks for Nothing. I thought, well, that's interesting. She said, thanks for nothing, Lord. One day this year when I left home, I left my iron on. I was gone for 5 hours. When I returned home, it had not started a fire and burnt my house down. I have teenage drivers. Thank you that no one in my family had an accident this year. Thank you, Lord, for nothing. Thank you that when I left my garage door open all night, no thieves broke in and stole from me. She said, we live along an earthquake line, a fault line. She said, thank you to outlive where there are tornadoes, floods, volcanoes, and avalanches. And reflecting back over the year with her daughter, who almost lost a finger when she slammed the bathroom door on it, she said, Jessica put it all in perspective when she said, I'm thankful for every uneventful day. As you're giving thanks, you need to ponder what didn't happen and exclaim, thanks for nothing. Give thanks to Christ daily for all your blessings. I thank God every day for His Son, for salvation, the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures, the sanctification process, His call in my life, for my marriage, for the protection of us, for a home, car, clothes, food, opportunities to help other people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're the most blessed Christians in the world living in the United States of America. And the best way we can show our thanks is to let our lives be an outflow to other people here and around the world. Just remain seated where you are. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in both buildings as we prepare to approach the Lord's table. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are and thank You for reminding us that we need to turn our thoughts and our hearts and our minds towards You. And remember what Your Son did for us on the cross. So then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That's why many among you are weak and ill, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were most discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. If you're here today and you've trusted Jesus as Savior, And Lord, you're invited to participate with us in both buildings.